And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley here with you on this Friday morning alongside the great David Beauclair from SI.com in place of Joe. Joe continues to be on vacation out in California. Ryan Porth here with you as well on this Friday morning. Gentlemen, how are we doing? What's going on, David? How are you?
Vacation.
Yes.
I don't know this word.
What is that word?
Yes. Yeah, I heard Joe was leaving you high and dry again, so I thought I'd just drop in.
It's been a common theme lately. You've had to come in and rescue me here on the show.
I have. Happy to do it, though.
We appreciate you coming back in here today.
Didn't sleep well last night anyway. I was up, so.
There you go. What better way to spend your next morning than coming in here and talking sports with us?
Exactly.
Ryan Porth, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing great. It's a beautiful Friday in Nashville, Tennessee.
Kind of is. A little bit of a monsoon on the way in this morning.
It was.
A little summertime pop-up shower.
It's kind of dry out on the west side of town.
Was it?
Yeah. I heard the rumbling a little while ago, and it got wetter the closer I got to this direction.
Yeah.
But we're dry out west.
That's the thing about summertime rain showers. It could be raining in a very short area. A little pop-up shower.
Even at 5 a.m.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Never know what's going to happen in this neck of the woods over here. We got a lot to get to coming up today here on the show. We start, though, game two of the NBA Finals last night. The Phoenix Suns, they get it done at home again. A 118-108 win. They take a 2-0 series lead in the NBA Finals. Devin Booker, 31 points last night. Mikal Bridges, 27 last night, 8 of 15 from the field, 3 of 9 from 3. And then Chris Paul, 23 points and 8 assists last night. The Bucks started off well defensively, played well, I think, exactly how you wanted to play on the road. Giannis ends up with 42 last night on 15 of 22 from the field. But I said this coming into the series, a lot of this is going to boil down to how does Chris Middleton play. And 11 points from Chris Middleton last night. 5 of 16 from the field, including 1 of 6 from 3-point. And Drew Holiday, 17 points, 7 of 21 shooting. So 33% from the field last night. David, it's just one of those things where if you got two of your three star players not shooting the ball well against this Phoenix Suns team in the NBA Finals, it's going to be tough to win. And
Suns now they're down 0-2. Suns are doing it all wrong, though.
Oh, yeah?
They're doing it all. I mean, the NBA forever has been a pay your dues league.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to win a round or two and then get beat and then go to the next round and get beat. You know, this is a team hasn't even been to the playoffs since 2010.
Two wins away.
Now they're going to win this thing. Yeah. That's not how the NBA works.
It's not.
I can't get my mind around this, that this is actually going to happen.
It's amazing.
I mean, they're the better team right now without question, But this is not the NBA. This is so far off script for this league. It's astonishing to me. I mean, they were good. 50 wins. You can't sneeze at 51 wins, whatever it was. Can't sneeze at that during the regular season. But here you go,
David. We talked about this yesterday, and we'll see what the ratings were like for Game Two. But Game One, the ratings down in the NBA Finals, and I said heading into this series, I like this matchup because the NBA, I think, maybe even more so than the rest of the big three in terms of the sporting leagues in our country, it's very predictable. I mean, it's very top-heavy. Usually the playoffs are pretty chalk. So I like having some new blood in there. I like having kind of a different matchup this year. I was very curious to see how the rest of the country would respond. The NBA playoffs, majority of the ratings have been pretty good so far. The finals have been down thus far. What do you think about this matchup? Is this good for the NBA? Is it bad for the NBA? Where do you come down on all that?
I always want to believe that the sport is the draw. You know, this comes up often with baseball, and you know, people from New York will tell you baseball's better when the Yankees are in the World Series, and you know, I always want to say horse pucky. You know, the World Series is the World Series. If you're a baseball fan, you're going to watch it.
That's right.
But that being said, I get pulled in by the stars too. And this would be better for the NBA if Milwaukee was winning this thing. I think this because Giannis is the guy that sort of can take center stage, and people have had their eye on him for a while. And if this felt like it was a coronation for him and for him taking his rightful place now among the biggest stars of this game, I think things would be trending in the different in the other direction. But Chris Paul's not that guy, and it just seems like the way this is going, that the ratings are just going to get worse from here, because I don't think the casual basketball fan feels like they need to tune in and see this right now.
Well, especially if Milwaukee can't win a game.
Yeah.
I mean, this is pretty exactly. important game three coming up, because they go down 0-3. I don't know how many people are going to be watching game four.
Suns and four are still alive.
Yeah, still is.
And coming off a 5-game Stanley Cup final that really wasn't that competitive, it's sort of a womp-womp kind of little stretch we're going through here right now.
Yeah, it is. So we'll see if the Bucks can rebound in game three. We've seen this happen already in the playoffs. They went down 0-2 to Brooklyn, came back home, won both games in games three and four, and then ultimately won the series in seven against the Brooklyn Nets. So it's looking bleak for the Milwaukee Bucks right now. It's the second time I've called them Milwaukee Butts in the last 2 weeks. It's looking bleak right now for the Milwaukee Bucks. But we've already seen early in this playoffs this same scenario play out.
Maybe they've got the Suns right where they want them.
Maybe so. We'll see what happens on that front starting in Game 3 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. A big one last night here at Nissan Stadium between Nashville SC and Atlanta United. And, David, I got to tell you, and I said this on Twitter last night, and it's been kind of amazing to watch how this season has played out for Nashville SC. That was their 12th game. Last night, they've drew, I guess is the correct term, seven times. So that means seven times there's not been a winner or a loser. And I said this on Twitter. I love that Nashville is becoming more of a soccer city. We talked about the World Cup qualifiers coming to town on Nissan Stadium on September the 5th yesterday with Scott Ramsey, who we had on our show. I've been to a lot of Nashville SC games. I've been around Nashville SC since the very, very early days of it coming in, even before the USL team was taking place. So I've been able to watch this thing grow into what it is now. But, David, I got to tell you, one of the things that drives me nuts about soccer is how frequent draws happen. That's one thing I cannot program my mind to get used to. David, I'm used to a winner, and I'm used to a loser, and all these draws, I don't know what to make of it.
It's soccer. It's a different game. I don't know what to tell you. I have a long history covering soccer, going back to the doing some stuff with the U.S. national team back in the early 90s. The athletes are different. It's just a different animal from top to bottom. If you're professing your admiration for soccer's place in this town, you're just going to have to get on board with this, because this is what it is.
I know.
This is what
it
is.
Look, we even had fans last night tell me, I mean, it is what it is. I'd rather see a game decided by a draw than I would a penalty kick or a shootout in hockey. And
I mean, at least
I don't agree
with
that, but I guess maybe.
At least last night it was 2-2, and I believe there was a goal that was waved off.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there were moments of excitement. It wasn't one of those 0-0 just nonsense games
those
that
are
you'll
the worst.
See sometimes. I do feel like Nashville SC is starting to finally recapture a little bit of that. You know, I think they had such momentum the way the whole thing came together, and the way the city led by, you know, in this bid led by John Ingram and crew, leapfrogged the field to get the expansion bid first of all, and the excitement over the stadium construction, everything, and then, you know, the stadium construction is going to take longer than everybody wanted. And then there was the pandemic and everything. And it felt like Nashville had lost so much of that momentum with the local fan base here that where it was, you know, kind of getting beyond just the hardcore soccer people, and or was sort of retreating back to the hardcore soccer people, and now there is a certain excitement that I'm starting to feel and yeah. starting to note again that people are like, hey, this, you know, this is not going to be one of those 5-year builds to respectability for an expansion team. This is a team that's in the mix right now and is worth keeping an eye on.
Well, now starting to spend some money too, and you know. Bringing in Ake Loba, I mean, it's $6.8 million. That's a heck of an investment at the MLS level. And nearly 23,000 people in attendance last night at Nissan Stadium between Nashville SC and Atlanta United. So I know not the result that Nashville SC fans wanted last night. We talked about it yesterday. Tony Husband, Nashville SC play-by-play voice on the show, said it was an important game for Nashville SC to win. Based on Atlanta, they had some starters out. I know Asheville SC did as well. And you could tell they missed Walker Zimmerman last night defensively. Some uncharacteristic mistakes made defensively last night by Nashville SC. But I thought a game where 3 points were available to them. They were the better team. They should have captured the 3 points. And one of those situations where a draw in that instance, probably a disappointing result if you're Gary Smith and Nashville SC. And he said as much after the game last night.
Well, they had two goals to go up 3-1 that were both wiped out. And then immediately after that, Atlanta scores to tie it.
Yep. Talk about a momentum swing.
That's right.
That's not what you want at the home crowd there. And we'll see if Loba is in the lineup starting next week against Chicago.
Yeah,
and,
you don't spend that kind of money to bring him along slowly, that's for sure.
Put him in there. I think there's probably a pretty good chance he'll be in there.
I think there is a good chance,
against
yes.
Chicago, and we'll see what sort of a difference he can make right off the bat. We're off and running today here on Robbie and Rex Road. David Beauclair in for Joe Rex Road today, taking your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Coming up next, we switch gears and get into the Nashville Predators. Lots of things on the checklist for David Poile as Nashville Predators general manager this offseason. What should be the next move? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game, streaming live on YouTube, on Periscope, and on Twitch as well. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. David Beauclair in today for Joe Rex Road. And David, already one move made by the Nashville Predators in advance of the expansion draft coming up, which is now less than 2 weeks away, with Seattle coming into the league this next season. Victor Arvidsson traded to the Los Angeles Kings, a second-round pick in this year's draft in return for the Predators, a third-round pick in next year's draft as well. Let's start with your thoughts there, because it's the first time we've seen you since this trade was made. What did you think of that trade for the Predators, Victor Arvidsson going to the LA Kings, and what did you think of the return with a couple of draft picks heading back this way for the Predators?
I think they got a pretty good haul for the guy. You know, when you're talking about somebody, you know, he's not an old man at 28, but he is sort of an old 28, or has looked it the last couple of years. You know, it gives them a chance to get out from under a contract that that for the most part has been a good one for them, and maybe maybe it's the right time. You know, you want to get out before the return on your investment really starts to decline, and it certainly has been in decline. You know, I understand, and I certainly get Victor Arvidsson's appeal. He's always been an easy guy to like, an easy guy to root for, a guy that you're happy to have on your team. But for the most part, and this is where I think David Poile needs to think this way a little more often. You know, he's not a guy who's had a lot of great playoff games. You know, I mean, he's never really been the same guy in the playoffs that he is in the regular season. And David Poile's theory is always, you get in the playoffs and you see what can happen. And he's really good at getting this team to the playoffs, right? My sense is, I want guys who are going to win games in the playoffs for me. And so if I'm David Poile, I'm looking at this roster saying, okay, who else has not been the same guy in the playoffs for me? You look at Chicago, for example. Chicago's in and out of the playoffs, but when they're in, boy, they're in, right?
Yep.
You know, and they're winning cups. So would you rather be a Blackhawks fan and say we've won three cups in the last however many years, or, you know, the Predators fans still saying, hey, we're going to get there. We're going to get there at some point. I mean, I don't know that you're going to get there doing it this way. So, I David Poile has said wholesale changes aren't coming. You know, I guess long story short, my question is why not?
Yeah, and that's – and, you know, the expansion draft, the next thing on the list, and David Poile said last week on Darren Donick and Chase that, you know, he'd like to have a pretty good idea of what Seattle's going to do heading into that draft – or heading into the expansion draft. I wonder what that constitutes. I mean, if you're David Poile at this point, I know you don't have to determine what your protection list is going to look like until the 17th. But they've been working on this for months, probably over a year at this point. They know who they're protecting at this point, especially with Victor Arvidsson now gone. So David Poile and the Predators know what their protection list is going to look like. The biggest question to me remains, is there any way that you can get one of those two contracts of Johansson or Duchesne off the books? And I think if you had to pick, it would probably be Duchesne. Is there any way you can do that? Does Seattle have any appetite to that whatsoever? And if they do, how steep of a price are you going to have to pay? That's the big question that David Poile's got to figure out if he can swing it, I think, in the next couple of weeks moving forward.
Yeah, but what he's looking for, I think that comment, you know, what he's looking for is certainty. He doesn't want to be surprised, and nobody in his line of work wants to be surprised at any point. So, and he, you know, going back to 1998, he certainly afforded GMs around the league every opportunity to do that too. You know, he's just looking for a little karma, I guess, in terms of, look, I called everybody. What do you want? How can I help you?
Yep.
You know, things like that led to Kimmo Tiiminen being here, which, you know, was one of those deals. Patrick Schellberg, who led the team in goals, or I think the second year of the franchise, you know, he was part of some of those discussions. Thomas Vokoun came out of those discussions. Those kinds of things can be really fruitful for a team in Seattle's position. And so if you're David Poile, yeah, you're thinking, okay, this is where karma comes back around and is good to me, and I can get a contract off the books. And, you know, but to the point, you know, what else are you going to have to give up for Seattle to take that salary cap hit? I mean, the good news is, you know, people forget the salary cap in the NHL. There's also a salary floor.
Yep.
You know, Seattle can't just do this on the cheap. They've, you know, and if they want to get a bunch of younger, cheaper guys, this kind of thing might be a really good move for them.
Ryan Porth, as you look at the moves coming up for the expansion draft for David Poile, the moves already made with Victor Arvidsson out the door, how active do you think this offseason could be for the Predators? We've already seen one trade. We know that something's going to happen in the expansion draft. Could it be even more active beyond that in terms of player movement with this current roster intact? How active do you think David Poile will be in this offseason?
I think it depends on whether or not Seattle takes Duchesne and whether Poile can get Seattle to take Duchesne. And that would entail throwing in one or two extra assets to get Duchesne in Seattle, but if they clear that $8 million off the books, then I think you could see David Poile try to tinker some other things or make, you know, some lower level trades to bring in different players, different style of players onto this roster that might be better fits for John Hines' system. I could absolutely see that, but if Seattle does not take Duchesne, I don't really know how much David Poile can do from a financial standpoint. You know, if Seattle's coming away with Cale Yarncroak, you're only getting $2 million off the books at that point. And I would be surprised if they trade Ryan Ellis at the draft or anything like that, although that could be something that could get you even more assets or a forward that could be a pretty good fit. So I think a lot of it depends on Duchesne, honestly. And if they can move Duchesne, that could start a domino effect of different moves that Poyle is able to make.
And I still find it unlikely that that's going to happen, David. I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, if I'm Seattle, I know I'm asking for the moon if you're asking me to take Matt Duchene. And I just wonder, like, how far is David Poyle willing to go to get this contract off the books? Now, remember, it is 5 more years left of this deal. So there are 5 more years left of Matt Duchene. And, look, we've seen it. Duchene's a good player. It's not like he's not been productive before, but there's just been zero signs in his time in Nashville that that's going to happen. I just wonder how far you're willing to go if you're David Poyle to try to help get that contract off the books, and how much it's going to take in terms of what I have to assume is going to be a heavy asking price from Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, he's 30 years old, not getting any younger, not getting any tougher. You know, his shooting percentage has been in steady decline here the last couple of years. You just look at it. This was a guy who, a couple of years ago, everyone in Nashville was doing cartwheels, right? Yep. He was the missing piece. It was, and turns out that's, you know, it. Even if he plays better than he played, say, this past season, he still doesn't, you know, he'd have to be way better than that to be the missing piece. And yep. I don't know that he has, you know, that he has that in him anymore at this point. This is a classic case of, you know, you paid a guy for what he's done, not for what he's going to do for you. And now you're looking at, and you're right. If, you know, given the length of that contract, Seattle can say, you know, David,
it's got $40 million left in that contract.
Let's be serious here. But, you know, I mean, Predators fans for so long couldn't wait to be a cap team, right? Like, oh, that, yeah. that was going to be a sign that this franchise had arrived, and they're a cap team
they're
now.
Cap
and
team
this
for
is
sure.
these are some of the joys that come with that come with being a cap team, and it almost makes you long for the days when Nashville was always in the bottom third, but you knew that when the trade deadline came around, if they had to, they could take on, you know, contracts and do that sort of thing. It's not quite as easy as it was back in the day in that regard.
Well, and how this plays out with the expansion draft is going to be interesting, because Porth, I agree with you. I think depending on who Seattle takes, that really shapes up what David Poyle is able to do the rest of the offseason. Like, I fully expect now that with Arvidsson off the books, Granlund's going to be a part of the plans. Like, they're probably going to re-sign Mikhail Granlund. I would be surprised at this point if that doesn't happen. But beyond that, I don't know how much they're going to be able to do when you factor in that you've still got to sign Forsberg to an extension, theoretically, Matthias Ekholm to an extension, and I know that those deals would not kick in this year, but it's all about looking down the pipe too. And
don't sign
this
Ekholm.
this cap's not going up. You don't want them to sign Matthias Ekholm?
No,
really.
Ekholm's a classic case of a guy who is completely different in the playoffs than he is in the regular season. Look at how his turnovers go up. Yep. I just go back to that Winnipeg series a couple years ago. Those forwards were coming after him, and he just coughed the puck up over and over again. I mean, that's Matthias Ekholm's a good player. I get that, but He's not a guy who has helped this team win in the playoffs, and it's been a pattern. I was thinking about this the other day. You go back to 2016,
mm-hmm.
and what was at that point the biggest game in franchise history, Game 7 in the second round against San Jose, and what happens? Predators lose 5-0. Shea Weber commits 5 turnovers, and in the offseason, Shea Weber gets traded away. And I think that trade was a result of Peter Laviolette saying, I need a different style. I need a guy who can skate more back there. I wanted it to be a case of the Predators saying, if this is our best player in our biggest game ever, and this is what we get from him, that's not good enough. You know, like,
sure.
that should have been what the thinking was behind that trade. And that's why I say I go back to, you know, at a certain point, enough with this. Let's just get to the playoffs. No, get me players who are going to win playoff games for me. And I don't think the Predators have enough of those guys.
What about Forsberg? Because Forsberg's probably, if you sign him to an extension, my guess is he's probably going to cost you somewhere around $7.5 million,
at least $6 million, probably upwards of that.
So, look, I think Forsberg's a very good player. I don't think Forsberg on a Stanley Cup winning team is a first line player.
No.
So, are you comfortable giving him a long term deal that's $7.5 million per year?
At this point, no. I said a few minutes ago, I want the whole. Why not the wholesale changes? What had, you know, this group peaked at 2017. Let's try something different here now. We've seen this show. We've seen this act.
So David Beauclair, he's here for the rebuild.
I'm
for the
blowing it up.
David Beauclair is blowing it up if he's David
Give me
Poyle
the button. Give me the red button. I'm pushing it.
David Beauclair always tempted to hit the red button. I would be too. That's why they don't put those red buttons around me. Well, speaking of changes, there's some rumors out there that are swirling about with the Nashville Predators that some changes could be made. We'll get to those coming up next with some comments from some very prominent people in the hockey world. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, David Beauclair, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the Nashville Predators and some potential moves that could be made this offseason. And we've talked about players that are already on the roster and what their futures could look like. But there's a name that's being floated out there from the back-to-back Stanley Cup winners that could be connected to the Nashville Predators as well. And I'm talking about Tampa Bay Lightning forward Alex Killorn, who, of course, has won back-to-back cups with the Lightning, a really good player for them. One of those playoff-type players that you just talked about, David Beauclair, that helps you win
exactly
in the playoffs. And Elliot Friedman of the 31 Thoughts podcast, who, of course, joins Darren Donick and Chase every week, alongside Jeff Merrick, who was on our show the other day, we're talking about Alex Killorn and the possible connections to the Nashville Predators on their latest edition of the 31 Thoughts podcast. Here's what Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick had to say about Alex Killorn.
I mentioned David Poyle earlier, talking about the Arvidsson deal and Seattle becoming like, Seattle essentially saying if Arvidsson's available, we're taking him. So they traded him to Los Angeles to pick some things up. Poyle also said, you know, he's looking at doing some things with this team that don't expect the exact same squad to come back. What do you hear? What do you know about Nashville?
Well, like I said, I think they're going to try to extend Ekholm. I just wonder, you know, I do think that that is something that is on the table that they've been working on. I still think they're going to try to extend Granlund. You know, I know they were a team that liked Killorn, so I'm wondering if they're looking at what Tampa might and might not be able to do. Other than that, nothing too big that I've heard right now. But that doesn't mean he's not working on something. It means it hasn't got me yet. I haven't gotten to it yet.
So that was Elliot Friedman on the 31 Thoughts podcast saying the Predators, he knows they've been interested in Killorn. That's not the first time that I've heard Elliot Friedman say that. He brought that up a few weeks ago on Darren Donick and Chase as well. We know Tampa Bay, they've got some salary cap gymnastics they're going to have to do this offseason, and it's going to require them to lose somebody. Now, it's not going to be anybody in their core. Stamkos, Kucherov, Hedman, Point, all those guys are going to be back. But the Andre Palats of the world, the Tyler Johnsons of the world, and the Alex Killorns of the world may have to be, at least one of those, may have to be on the move this offseason. So, David, what do you make of the idea of a player like Alex Killorn, who has been a good player for Tampa Bay, productive in the playoffs as well, what do you make of a guy like that being a target for David Poyle, given where this Predators team is right now with their roster?
Yeah, this is exactly what I'm talking about. You know, a guy who had 33 points in the regular season this year and then, you know, threw up 17 in 19 games in the playoffs this year. I mean, his numbers, his playoff numbers over an 82-game season, he'd be a 50-point guy, which is you know, in his career, he's never scored 50 points in the regular season over an 82 game, including having played 82 games a couple times. He's a guy who elevates his play. He's a guy who hits. He blocks shots in the playoffs. You know, he didn't just do it this year. I mean, he has a history of doing this. This is exactly the sort of guy that I think you need to add to this team to add some You talked about John Hines' style of play, and John Hines has said over and over again, more difficult to play against, more difficult to play against. This is a guy who can give you some of that, not just give you some of that, but give you some of that at the right time of year. And that's again, that's what I think this team needs to start thinking about a little bit more.
Yeah, I think Alex Killorn would come in, and he brings a lot of those things. My question and my concern would be is, you know, you talked about the points he's put up in the playoffs, and he has. He's been a really good player. He's been playing with Anthony Cirelli and Steven Stamkos as well. And I just wonder on this team, with this group, especially with this group of center icemen who have just not been able to be productive, and quite frankly, they've not been able to elevate their line mates the last couple of years, would Alex Killorn be the same guy? Here in Nashville,
and on top of that, he's going to be 32 by the time the next season starts. So, you know, I mean, again, are you going to get more out of this guy than he's done to this point in his career? No, you're not going to. I mean, the hope is that you would get him for a couple of years, and he's still the same player. You know, sort of like a Mike Fisher deal. I'll never forget this when the Preds traded for Mike Fisher, because Mike Fisher was a guy who apparently back in 1998 during the draft, there was a lot of discussion among the Preds personnel people about Mike Fisher, and it was ultimately decided that they wouldn't take him. David Poile was one who wanted to take him. He I guess ceded to his scouts at that point, and never sort of got over his love for Mike Fisher. Finally got Mike Fisher here. And I remember going around the locker room one day, and Ryan Suter kind of grabs me, and he's like, "Why are people so worked up about Mike Fisher?" He goes, "He's a good player." He's like, "But he's not a 25 goal guy. Like, what are we talking about here?" He's like, "We need a goal scorer," and but. You did get in Mike Fisher the guy that he had been in Ottawa, and a guy who helped this team in a lot of ways, and that's what you'd be looking for. Like, if just say hypothetically the Preds do something, they get Alex Killorn here. If I would hear David Poile say, "Well, this is a guy who has scored 26 goals in his career. You know, we think we can put him in situations where he can score 30, maybe 35 for us." He has scored 26 goals once in his career. Yeah. He hasn't scored 20 any other season in his career, right? I mean, so let's be real about who he is and what he can contribute to this team. But if you can get that for a couple years, given what we've seen from this team in the playoffs the last couple years, I think a guy like Killorn would really help.
I do too, and look, you talk about the little things that he does. Obviously, that's the way John Hines wants his group to play. Like, that was what was part of amazing to watch the other night in Game 5 as Tampa Bay is closing that game out. I mean, first off, it was clear they were superior to Montreal in pretty much every way. But the commitment level that they had to just doing the little stuff, blocking shots. I mean, Killorn got knocked out of the series because he threw his body in front of a shot, blocked it, and he broke his leg. And then he had surgery and wanted to play 3 days later.
Yeah,
I mean, it's that's what hockey players do. But just the little things, they're such a skilled team, but they can beat you any way you want to play. And that's what stands out about Tampa Bay. I still think this Predators roster, they've got some work to do on that front.
Let's be real about this, too. If you watch Tampa Bay play, it's not as simple as saying, well, if we can get one or two guys like, you know, if we can get one or two guys off that roster, put them on our team. Well, because those guys play together better than any other team in the NHL right now. I mean, you watch them when a defenseman attacks, the way the forwards cover and the way they're spacing in the offensive zone is always so good. It's just they're it's more than just the commitment of players. They really they're well coached in ways that other teams aren't. They all buy into that system that they have going on there, and they I can't recall the last time I've seen a roster of 20 players that works together as well as that entire roster seems to work together.
They remind me of, you know, those good Red Wings teams back in the 2000s, with just how in sync
they all knew what they were doing.
And the other thing with Killorn is they have not had that classic net front guy since they traded Patrick Hornquist. And Killorn is as close to that guy as they would have had since Patrick Hornquist.
That's what he does. He gets in front of the net. There's no question about that.
And he's basically the same money as Arvidsson.
Yep.
2 years left on his deal. So it's not like you're taking on a six-year contract.
Yeah.
And for the same money as Arvidsson, Arvidsson's production lowered in the playoffs, and Killorn raises the stakes in the playoffs.
I think something worth considering if you're David Poile and the Predators. And like I said, it's not the first time I've heard Elliot Friedman mention his name in connection to the Predators. So,
but again,
Friedman usually doesn't just throw stuff out there like
that. No, that's right. And all this stuff, though, is on hold until after the expansion draft, right? I mean, nobody can really do anything until, or at least until you have some certainty, as we talked about, with what Seattle's going to do.
Right.
But Tampa might want to get something for Alex Killorn before the expansion draft, because Seattle might take him.
But they're not going to take anything from the Predators. Like, if you're the Predators, you'd want to give up something too, to keep your expansion list, your protection list in place. It becomes so hard to make a deal when there's an expansion draft looming.
And I would have to assume, like, if you're David Poile and you traded for Killorn before the expansion draft, obviously you're protecting him at that point. So you're definitely going 4-4. Like, you're not protecting five defensemen anymore, because it would be Forsberg, it would be Cunning, it would be Killorn, and I would assume they're not going to expose both Sissons and Yarncroft.
Well, maybe Tampa would take Fabro.
Would you do that? He's 22, first round pick.
Fabro is a player to me that if you keep hoping that he's going to get to a first or second pair level and be consistent at that level, that his value might diminish in a couple of years.
So you would do it?
I would think about it.
Okay. It's interesting. I'd have to look at Tampa Bay's list of defensemen they've got to protect too, because I would assume they wouldn't want to lose him for nothing. But yeah. Certainly worth looking at, I guess, if you're David Poile and the Predators. See what happens on that front. Got more to say on this topic coming up next. Taking your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll also get to something that David Beauclair brought up earlier this hour about the state of the Predators franchise. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Like I said, I think they're going to try to extend Ekholm. I just wonder, I do think that is something that is on the table that they've been working on. I still think they're going to try to extend Granlund. I know they were a team that liked Killorn, so I'm wondering if they're looking at what Tampa might and might not be able to do. Other than that, nothing too big that I've heard right now. But that doesn't mean he's not working on something. It means it hasn't got me yet. I haven't gotten to it yet.
That was Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet on the 31 Thoughts podcast with Jeff Merrick and Elliot Friedman. I guess soon to be the 32 Thoughts podcast in a couple of weeks when Seattle comes into the fold in the expansion draft. Talking about Alex Killorn and maybe whether or not the Predators could be interested in his services from the Tampa Bay Lightning. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We've got a commenter on Periscope that says the Preds have to get more speed on the ice. And David, I don't know that speed is the word that comes to mind when I think of Alex Killorn. He's a bigger guy. He gets to the front of the net, and a guy that is going to do kind of the hard areas and get to the puck battles and win those pretty often, fairly regularly. But I don't know if speed is the word that comes to mind when I watch Killorn play.
No, he's not. And you know, this is sort of the constant game, though. And I said this back in 2017 when David Poyle said he was going to honor the player's request to try and keep the bulk of that roster together. You know, the Stanley Cup is a moving target.
Yep.
You know, yes, they got really, really close that year. That doesn't mean that they stayed close. You know, if you didn't win it, you've got to keep moving and try and catch this thing. And they were right. The Predators were very right in 2017 when they got faster. They looked like almost every night they were the fastest team on the ice that whole season. They just looked that way. They don't look that way anymore. I don't think you need to be. You know, the NHL has gone back a little bit more to some of the tougher grinding sort of style of play. But I don't think you need to be as fast as you were 5 years ago.
Yeah.
If you're the Predators, but I agree that they need to get a little more overall speed right now. And what I really think they need to this point, though, too, is they need tougher defensemen. We were talking about Dante Fabbro, you know, the last segment. Fabbro, to me, worst case scenario is he becomes another Matthias Ekholm, right? Again, with Ekholm, I don't think you need both of these guys. I think you do. You want to hang on to Ekholm and let him get older? Do you want to hang on to Fabbro, let him grow into whatever he's going to become? That's fine. Either one of those guys, I'm good with. I'm okay with keeping one of those right now. But I want. You know, you're not going to find Victor Hedman. Let's face it.
Right.
But I want somebody who's going to make people pay a price for going to the front of the net, especially now that UC Saros is the goalie, right? Like, UC Saros isn't seeing over anybody.
No.
When they plant themselves in front of the net. Pekka can look over people's shoulders. He could find the puck and whatnot. With Saros, it's all about being able to follow the puck and keep your eyes on the puck and connecting the dots and getting in the right spots, which he does incredibly well. So you're going to need somebody, more than one guy, that's going to take care of the front of the net. Roman Josi, as great as he is not driving anybody away from the front of the net.
No.
Matthias Ekholm likes to try. I love when Matthias Ekholm tries to play tough guy. It cracks me up. But he's not, you know, he's not that guy either. Ryan Ellis is not moving anybody away from the front of the net. Dante Fabro's not moving anybody away from the front of the net. I mean, you've got to get somebody on your one player at least on each of your first two defensive pairs that's going to take care of your goalie.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. And it's could, you know, a third D pair type guy do that? Sure. But also, there a lot of times your third defense pair is such a liability in other parts of the game that,
yeah,
they can move people out of the way. Problem is, when you get, you know, skated around like a traffic cone, it doesn't matter if you're moving people out of the way or not.
That's when I say, you know, I'm up for wholesale changes. I'm up for move on from Ekholm. Let's move on from Ellis. Let's keep these guys going. I'm not sold that Granlund's a guy that has to stay. I mean, let's get younger. Let's get tougher. Let's try something different. If you were
going to move on from Ekholm, why did you not do it last season? Right before the deadline?
I would have done it.
His value then was so high.
His value was so high.
And part of what his value was if you were a team trading for him, you're getting for two playoff runs, right? And now he's got 1 year left on the deal. Now, again, I don't think that Matthias Ekholm, if you wanted to extend him, I don't think he's going to cost that much. I mean, he's going to get a raise. He's at $3.75 million right now. He's going to get a raise. He is 31 years old, so it's not like a team's going to have to dish out, you know, $7.5 million for Matthias Ekholm. I think he could end up somewhere around six. But I just feel like
if
David Poyle was thinking that way, why not do it this past season?
If the reports were correct, that you could have gotten a first round, maybe two first rounders for him, and it's possible that you could have. I mean, that's about what the Predators gave up for Paul Gostad back in the day, right? Yeah. I mean, that was, you know, a third line center at best, more likely a fourth line center faceoff specialist guy. If you could have gotten two first round draft picks for Matthias Ekholm and didn't do it, that's criminal. That I don't care what kind of run, what kind of playoff push you were making. If you could have gotten that kind of return for that guy at that age, you had to do it. You had to do it.
Well, now you probably can't get that. I mean, he's now got 1 year left on his deal.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why I say if you didn't make that deal at the deadline, if it was there, and I don't know that it was there, but if somebody had offered that and David Poile said no, that's awful to me. That's awful to me because that gets to a point where that's too good a deal to pass up for the player that Mattias Ekholm is.
So, David, you brought up something earlier in the show that it's interesting. I was going to bring up right now in the show, and I'm glad you brought it up. And that is, you know, the Athletic yesterday came out with a list of their salary cap era NHL franchise rankings. And the salary cap coming into play in the NHL in the 05-06 season, and they've kind of gone through the list here, and there's different criteria involved. Obviously, the most points awarded to winning a Stanley Cup. You get more points or fewer than that for losing in the Cup Final, Conference Finals, and making the playoffs. And Pittsburgh is at number one on this list with three Cups during that time and the points that they've accumulated. At number 14, which is basically right in the middle, is the Nashville Predators. Which, to your point, and you brought this up, they make the playoffs pretty much every year. I mean, when you start thinking about, you know, how often they've made the playoffs in the last 15, 16 years, it's right up there with your Pittsburghs and your Washingtons and your San Jose's, like the top teams in the league over that stretch. They've been past the second round of the playoffs one time. So yeah. If you're a Predators fan, how do you feel about all this? You've obviously... You're there. You're in the tournament. You make the playoffs. I think Montreal is a good example this year. Sometimes all it takes is getting in, and you can get on a magical run. But that's happened for the Predators one time where they've made it past the second round. How do you feel about where this franchise is in terms of being good enough to get to the playoffs and basically one time they've been good enough to do some damage in the playoffs?
And it happened one time for the Washington Capitals when David Poile was general manager there, too. They got past the second round of the playoffs once, got swept in the conference finals. I mean, this is – I say this all the time. If anybody thinks that something different is going to happen, they're kidding themselves. Like, 2017 was the outlier. And it wasn't the start of a new norm for this franchise. So I give David Poile credit. He's tried different things. You know, early on it was we're going to keep our players till grim death, and then he got into Trader David mode for a little while. But the thrust of his moves are always the same, which is be good in the regular season, be good enough to get to the playoffs, and. At this point, 20 some years of it, I'm a little bored with it. Does that mean you bump David Poile up to a GM emeritus position or whatnot? Let somebody different try. If I were a fan, I wouldn't hate that idea. I mean, to me, like the LA Kings are a good example. The Kings have been to they went to the playoffs looking at this list 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, just 7 times in the last 12 years. But they've won 2 Stanley Cups.
Yep.
Would you rather be the Los Angeles Kings or the Nashville Predators right now? Going to the playoffs every year and not winning cups and almost never even coming close to winning the cup.
I'll take the championship.
Personally, I'll be the Kings. Yes.
Well, and also the right now. Like, the Kings won 2 cups, they bought them out, and now they've got...
Their prospect pool is great.
They've got a bright future where they might be in a similar position in the next, like, 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mentioned the Blackhawks earlier. It's what the Blackhawks have done, too. They're willing to be terrible for a year or two to get the payoff on the other end. Predators have never been willing to be terrible enough to be great, and it's a hard thing to get your mind around. But really, that's sort of what it takes. You have to be terrible in the NHL to be great.
Yeah,
and David Poile is not willing to be terrible. And I don't say that that's a personality flaw. Like, I get it. We're all competitive people in our own way, but. Sometimes you have to think more long term, And I don't see a lot of that from this franchise.
Coming up next, we will switch gears and get into a little college football talk here. The 12-team playoff may be coming into effect here in a few years. What kind of effect is that going to have on bowl games, including the Music City Bowl here in our town? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.